we continue in the book of Acts. We'll be in Acts chapter number 21, verse number 40, and then down through chapter number 22 this morning. Acts chapter number 21, verse number 40. We'll read verse number 40, and then we'll pray, and we'll jump right into this rest of this text this morning. Verse number 40. When he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand of the people. When there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Let's pray this morning. Gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's always right on time. Lord, I pray this morning as we teach and we preach your word, God, I pray that you would help us like only you can. God, I pray that you would forgive us where we fail you. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning. You would encourage us. Lord, I pray that your word would do in our hearts and our minds what only it can do. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful music this morning. I thank you that your goodness is running after us. Lord, I thank you for the song about a miracle in the pew. Lord, that is the truth this morning. And Lord, you've done a miracle. If we're saved, Lord, and you've forgiven us, what a miracle that is. And we've got so much to praise you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you bless the teaching and the preaching of your word. Lord, may you be high and lifted up in this place this morning. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Paul, as we saw last week, had just almost been killed by the mob here in Jerusalem. They had accused him of that he was against the people, if you remember that. He was against Israel. They had accused him of being against the law and against the temple. The biggest accusation they had made against him is that he was for Gentiles and he was bringing Gentiles into the temple, which was forbidden, and they were accusing him of polluting the temple. He was suffering, as we saw last week, for the cause of Christ. He was not suffering for bad decisions. He was not suffering due to his own sin. He is suffering as a Christian. He is suffering for preaching the gospel. He is suffering according to the will of God. It was God's will that he was going through what he was going through. In our minds, and in my mind, when I read about Paul, the more and more we get into this, to me it really doesn't seem fair. He's in Jerusalem. He's been traveling on these missionary journeys. He's been ran out of city after city. He's been stoned. He's been beaten. But it says in the Word, as we're going to see, that this is the will of God for him to suffer for the name of Jesus. And here we find him after being, he's in Jerusalem. If you remember, Abagus's prophecy has been fulfilled. They bound him. They bring him in. They're making these accusations. They're mobbing. And here they're giving him an opportunity to say something. Now we're going to look at what does he say. And then at the end, we're going to take three things away from this morning that I believe can be a great help to us this morning. Verse number 40, Paul is given permission to speak, and it's interesting here because he speaks in the Hebrew language. He speaks in Aramaic here. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 22. Let's notice what he says here, and keep your Bibles open. Chapter 22, verse number 1, he starts out by this. He's got a chance to speak. It's silence. He starts in Hebrew. The place goes quiet, okay? Look at verse 1. Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now. Now, Paul here, it's interesting. He uses the exact same wording that Stephen used back in chapter number 7 as Stephen was addressing the mob. He says, men and brethren. Look at verse number 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith. So he begins to speak in Hebrew, and this caught him off guard because, listen, this was showing that Paul wasn't some vagabond. He wasn't some type of uneducated person. As he began to speak in the Hebrew tongue, what this was doing is like, man, this dude is an educated guy. This guy isn't just some common criminal or some common thief or some common heretic. This guy's got some intellectual ability to him. Look at verse number 3. I am verily, so he begins to introduce himself, who he is. Look at verse 3. I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought me up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. So he begins to tell them here his background. He says, listen, I was born in Tarsus, but I didn't stay there. I was brought back here, and I trained at this rabbi, which the man that's mentioned here was one of the most prominent rabbis of the day. So Paul is telling them, I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, but raised in Jerusalem. And we're going to see why that is so significant. I was educated in the Jewish law by this leading rabbi of the day. I was a zealous Pharisee and law abider like you are. That's what he's telling them. Listen, I was where you are. Look at verse number 4. Look what it says. And I persecuted, and notice these words, this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He reminds them of who he was before his salvation. He's saying, listen, when it says this way, that's referring to the way of Jesus. Anytime you see that, we see in the book of Acts, man, he's saying this, I used to persecute those that follow Jesus just like you're doing. I used to even kill them. I threw women and children in and adults into both men and women into prison. I persecuted. I've done what you're doing. I murdered them. He's testifying of his past. Look at verse 5. And also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He's given them a testimony of his past. Look at verse number 6. It came to pass that I made my journey and was come that nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. So what he's doing is he's giving a testimony of his salvation. He's saying, listen, I was once who you were. I was a murderer. I was a terrorist. I was a zealot for the law, okay? I was this religious person with no grace, law only. I persecuted Christians of the way. Verse number 6, he says, and this bright light shone. Look at verse 7. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice unto me saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Y'all remember the story, Acts chapter number 9, I believe, when God showed up, and listen, and you may not like this morning, but Paul wasn't looking for God. God was looking for him, okay? He wasn't looking for him, and sometimes we can get that messed up. I'm thankful that even when I wasn't looking for God, he was looking for me, aren't you, this morning? He was running after me. Look at verse number 8. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. So this was that interaction on the road to Damascus with Paul and the Lord. Verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice that spoke to him. He spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all the things which are appointed to thee to do. So we remember the story. This is when God came after Saul, when he got his life changed. This is when Paul got called. This is when Paul got saved. And then he's given a calling by God, man, to go to the Gentiles, as we're going to see here in a minute. Look at verse 11. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them which were with me, I came unto Damascus. So he's recounting of what ended up happening. And if you remember, when he came to Damascus, those early Christians did not accept him. Remember? They were like, dude, this is a terrorist. We're not accepting him. But there was a man, as we're going to see here, named Ananias, that encouraged the Christians to accept him. Look at verse number 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one should hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all the men if thou hast heard. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. So basically what's happened here is Paul is sharing his story. Paul is telling this mob in Hebrew, man, this is what I've been through. I was a terrorist. I was persecuting Christians. I was walking down a road one day. God got my attention. He came after me. He changed my life. And he said I was going to go into the world and preach the gospel. Look at verse number 17. Paul here in verses 17 through 19 is going to describe his first visit to Jerusalem. Now, say with me, because this is important. We're going somewhere with this. Look at verse 17. Came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. If you remember back and you've been with us a while, there was a few different times he was in a trance where God spoke to him. That's what he's recalling. That's what he's bringing up again. verse number 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they shall not receive thy testimony concerning me. So you remember, God warned him to get out of town because they weren't going to receive you. Verse 19. The Lord said, they know what that I misimprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. So this is interesting. Paul's just telling him again that God already told him that, listen, Paul, my plan for you, and this is hard for us this morning. Y'all stay with me. My plan for you, Paul, is that you're going to get beat. My plan for you, Paul, is that you're going to face persecution. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. Paul, my plan for, I don't understand that. There's times in my life where I don't agree, right? Huh? Man, this is like that injustice going on. Man, Paul, my plan for you is you're going to serve God. You're going to do what I tell you to do, but you ain't going to be blessed because of it necessarily. How many of y'all signing up for that? He's saying you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be beat. Look at it. You're going to be in jail. Look, verse number 20. He continued to testify. Look at it. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, he tells them, listen, I was there. I was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So Paul says, listen, I was there and oversaw the persecution and the murder of Stephen. By the way, let me just say this. This is good. This is good because this reminds me of something. Would y'all agree that Paul had some problems in his past? He has some issues, man. He probably wouldn't have passed a background check to work in the nursery. Think about that. By the way, this is why we shouldn't be so hard on people about their past. This is why we shouldn't judge other people because of their past. Because when God gets a hold of somebody, he can change everything, man. And that's what Paul's telling them. Listen, I was there. I was a murderer. Some of us will judge somebody for something. I'm going to stop before I get in trouble. Some of us will look down our pharisaical nose at somebody because they don't dress like us, they don't smell like us, they don't talk like us, they ain't like us. Thank God that God doesn't look at us that way. Somebody help me this morning. This was a terrorist. I have a hard time with that. I want you to think about this in our terms. Let's say bin Laden was still alive and he got saved by the grace of God. Everybody all right this morning? I better keep moving. I get voted out this morning. Look at this. Where are we at? Verse 22? Or verse number 21? So he was there. He says, listen, I was there when Stephen got killed. Then look at verse 22 and stay with me. And they gave him audience unto his, or verse 21. And he said unto me, depart. And this is where it gets hard for them. They're listening to him this entire time. They don't say a word this entire time. Then look at this, verse 21. And then he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence. And this is where it gets ugly. Unto the who? Unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word. What word? That he was going to the Gentiles. Look what they did. And they lifted up their voices. Once he said that, they were good, okay, until they get here. And notice what they say. And away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. But Paul, we're okay. We're okay with you being a terrorist and getting saved. We're okay with that. Paul, we're okay with all this. But the moment that you mention that you are a minister to the Gentiles and God told you to, they had a major problem with that. They could listen to all the preaching about Jesus, but as soon as it went to them that the gospel was for them and for the Gentile, they had a problem. You know why? Because it said, this is what it meant to them, that, listen, Jews and Gentiles are equal in God's eyes, and they did not like that. They get ticked. Acts chapter 9, verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel. You see, this was God's plan for Paul. God knew that Paul would be persecuted, but they were wanted to kill him simply because he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Look at verse 23. Look what they do. Stay with me. I'm telling you, this is going to help us. Verse 23. And as they cried out, cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air. Listen, this was grieving them, because here's the thing. These Jews did not have a problem with Gentiles becoming Jews. Okay? And by the way, that's how we are as Baptists sometimes. They didn't have a problem with the Gentiles becoming Jews. This is where they had a problem. They were incredibly offended at the thought of Gentiles becoming Christians the same way that Jews became Christians. Because it implied that Jews and Gentiles were equal and having come to God on the same terms. Let me just say this morning. Some of us need to remember, listen, there's only one way that any of us come to the Father this morning. And it's not your good works. It's not your last name. It's not your religion. It's by the blood of the Lamb this morning. This is where the Jews miss it, and it made them angry. Look at verse number 24, what ends up happening here, because this is where the story kind of turns. Verse 24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought in the castle. So this chief commander or this chief captain or that chief of police, if you will, shows up. And he's trying to figure out what's going on here. Why is this mob? What's going on here? And he brought him to the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried against him. So the commander here, a Roman, and I want you to put that in your head. This is important. A Roman would not have known what Paul was saying in the Hebrew tongue because he didn't speak it. Okay, he would not have understood why the people were rioting. This verse implies that, man, he would once again be scourged. That's not just beaten with a rod, man. That was scourging was something that many would not survive. He would to be examined by scourging was not for Roman citizens. So if you are a Roman citizen, they could not use torture in order to get something out of you, if you will. Okay? They could only do that with someone who was not a Roman. The commander here is basically trying to figure out what all this fuss is over. Look at number 25, verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, that's basically leather band, Paul said unto a centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman? And what he was saying here is, listen, Roman citizenship guaranteed that you went through due process. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not just be pushed through like a Gentile or someone else that wasn't a Roman citizen, okay? So you had to be a Roman citizen, and you had a lot of protection around you. So what they do in verse 25, look at it, and they bound him with these, they put these straps on him, and Paul asked him, can you do this to a Roman citizen? Now the commander's like freaking out now because he knows if he's taking care of a Roman citizen who should have been protected without due process, there's going to be some major problem and consequences. He could even die by doing that. Look at verse number 20, verse 27, or verse 26. Thank you. Somebody told me what verse I was on. Who was that? Was that you, Danette? Jason, thank you. Verse 26. When the centurion heard that, look what he did. He went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man's a Roman. Slow down and wait. He's a Roman. Okay? By the way, it wasn't no accident that Paul was born a Roman citizen. It was the plan of God. Look at verse number 28. And the chief captain answered, said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. So this chief captain says, listen, I paid my way into Roman citizenship. Now listen, you couldn't necessarily pay legally to become a Roman citizen, but you could bribe someone to become one. So the chief captain says, well, maybe you're like me. Maybe you bribed him. And look what Paul answers. You got your Bible open still? And Paul said, but I was freeborn. I was born a Roman citizen. I was not like you. I did not bribe my way here. Look at verse number 29. Then straightway they departed from that which would have examined him. The chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Verse number 30. On the morrow, because he would have known certainly wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So we're going to see next week, man, the Roman government here says, you know what? We ain't doing nothing with him. You could put it this way. We're extraditing him to the Sanhedrin, and we're going to see that next week, what happens in front of the Sanhedrin. But I want us to stop here this morning because if we're not careful, we can miss a whole lot in this story. Man, that's a wild story. Man, that's a lot that's going on there. I want you to think about this. If I'm Paul and I'm going through all this, I want you to just put yourself in his shoes and put himself in his place. If I'm Paul, none of this really seems fair. Does it? No. There are some practical things I want us to look at. I want you to think about this verse from Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. I want you to think about this verse. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass, as to this day, save much people alive. Bad things in our lives, when it don't seem fair, when it seems hard. What did Paul do in this text? As he's, remember, he was imprisoned in this text. They just gave him an opportunity to speak. The first thing I want you to remember is this. What did Paul do in this opportunity? He's got an opportunity to say something. You know what Paul was doing? He was preaching to them, man. He was sharing the gospel. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is this. When you're in those moments like this, when it don't seem fair, number one, remember this. Your past can be used for the glory of God. Testify. That's what Paul did. He says, I remember who I once was. I remember that I was a terrorist. I remember that I was a murderer. Listen, Paul was an extremely rare individual. It was uncommon, listen, to find such an educated, intelligent, devout Jew who was also a Roman citizen. Listen, and I want you to think about this. God would use this unique background to use Paul in a special way, even as he wants to use you and your unique background in a special way. Paul took the opportunity to testify. Man, to tell them what God had done in his life. Listen to me this morning. Y'all listen to me. We all, every one of us in here this morning, have a unique story and a unique past. We've all been through some things. Man, we've all been in some places. And we preached a few months ago, God's given us our story for His glory. And the thing that's awesome about Paul, when he had the opportunity to stand up in front of all these people, he didn't have a pity party. He didn't talk about how bad it had been, and it had been bad. He didn't get up and say how unfair it was, and it had been unfair. He didn't get up and cry and whine. When given the opportunity, he testified of the grace of God. His story for God's glory. Can I just say this morning? Paul seemed to know that his story was bigger than himself. Right up here. He knew. Listen, this will help somebody this morning if you'll chew on this. He knew that his story was bigger than himself. He knew it was for the glory of God. Listen, y'all listen to me this morning. If you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this morning. What you have been through can be a gift to help somebody else. It's tough, isn't it? That pain you've been through, that divorce you've been through, losing that baby, that abortion, those moments you walk through death. You see, some of us, God's given us pain, and we've been through heartache, and we've been like Paul. We've been through it in our life, and we're not using it to help anybody. We've missed the purpose in our pain. Man, I remember a friend of ours, Derek Hyatt, shared the story here before. Godly young man. Him and his girlfriend, they had met in our singles department years ago. And we ended up, I remember I ended up doing their wedding. And probably, I guess, how, I don't know how many years ago now, 10, 12 years ago. Stood up there, man, beautiful young couple. God had blessed them in a great way. Got married, man, God just using them. Derek, public school teacher. Rebecca's on our staff there at Rosedale. And I remember they ended up having a baby, and they named him Cyrus. And I remember Cyrus was born, and man, began to grow. And I think, how old was he? 4 years old. I remember getting a phone call, 4 years old. That one, I think it was a Wednesday night, I got a phone call from Derek. Derek just weeping on the phone and said, Jake, come over. And we went over there, and they found out that day that Cyrus had been diagnosed with leukemia, and it was bad. It didn't look like it was going to be terrible. I remember watching Derek over those next couple years, and this is what separates the men from the boys when it comes to Jesus, if we can use that. A lot of people, when they're going through hell, they just clam up. They don't think about it. They don't think in these ways. I remember Derek told me this one night, and it broke me, man. He said, we started looking at this cancer in our little four-year-old boy as a gift from God. I was blown away. I said, well, Derek, what do you mean? He goes, God has given this to us. We have been, listen, over the last few weeks, months, and he would tell you this now, years, God opened doors for him to minister. He's not even a preacher. Y'all hearing me? Some of y'all look up here this morning. God had given that to Derek, and Derek embraced what God had given him, and people came to the Lord, and people have been encouraged, and people have been saved, all because of his perception and his view and his outlook on the pain that God had given him. Same thing as Paul. I've got an opportunity here. I'm about to die. I ain't going to complain. I'm going to testify of his goodness. I'm going to tell you how you could have what I have. Your past can be used for the glory of God. Testify about it. Can I just tell you, if you've been through some hurt and if you've caused some hurt, share it. You can help somebody else. Man, if you've been through a nasty divorce and God gave you grace through it, when you see somebody else going through one, help them. If you've been through marriage problems, you know what it's like to cry and be betrayed. Listen, if you know what it's like to go through that, help somebody else that's been there. If you've been through financial loss and God allows you to bounce back, when you see somebody going through it, hey, help them. Hey, if you've lost loved ones, when you see somebody going through that loss, God has given you that in order to minister and to help them. Listen, when you... testify of it, man. Your past can be used for God's glory. Man, talk about how he delivered you, how he changed you, how he broke those chains. Some of us have some chains in our life. I know I do, that God broke. It's selfish of me to waste what God's done in my life. I want to encourage you that the first. Testify about it, man. Tell how God's done it. Second thing I want you to notice is you don't go like this one either. Your current circumstance is your opportunity. Preach. Paul, in that moment, guess what he does? He says, man, I was walking down this road one day, and that bright light showed up, and God changed my life. Where at one time I was a terrorist, and one time I was a murderer, and one time I had witnessed the stoning of Stephen. When God got a hold of me, everything in my life changed. How many of us this morning could say, hey, that day that I came to the cross and God saved my soul, that everything changed? Listen, we need to use that as an opportunity to testify. Let me just ask you this. When was the last time you told somebody about what God's done in your life? Can I just be as hard and as pointed and as blunt as I can this morning? When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? Paul seized that circumstance to preach the gospel, to preach Jesus. It was Paul who would write in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, so as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for the necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul told others about Jesus no matter where he was or what situation he was in. You know where he witnessed? Think about this. He was in the marketplace. And guess what he was doing in the marketplace? Telling people about Jesus. Hey, when he was in the synagogue, guess what he was doing? He was telling people about the goodness of God and about how God changed his life. When he was on the street corner, when he was in the jail cell, listen, when he was around the table, he was talking about the goodness of God and telling others God has allowed some things in your life, some circumstances. Listen, use those circumstances for his glory and testify about how God has led you through. Some of us have a story that we need to revisit every once in a while and remember. Thirdly is this, and this is the message this morning. That's all introduction. We got 4 minutes left. This is the hard one. God's plan may not seem fair. And what did Paul do? He trusted him. Oh, I don't like it. Life don't seem fair sometimes. Does it? Am I wrong? It don't seem fair. I wonder how many times Paul thought back to being saved and Acts 9:15, let me read this. I want to talk to you for a second. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. It was God's plan. Y'all hear me? It was God's plan for him to go to the Gentiles, knowing what would happen. Listen, and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him great things he must suffer for my sake. It was God's plan for him to go to the Gentiles. It was God's plan for him to suffer. Now, that don't sound like a lot of preaching we hear these days. It's God's plan. So what did Paul do all through his life since he got saved? I want you to think of me. You know what he did over and over again? He trusted God. When he was on that Damascus road, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know what he did from the day that God spoke to him? He trusted God. When they ran him out of town, you know what he did? He trusted God. When they didn't accept him, you know what he did? He trusted God. When they beat him, he trusted God. When he was in the prison cell, he trusted God. When he was in the midnight hour, remember that? And it was cold and it was dark. He trusted God. When they threw stones at him, literally, he trusted God. Hey, when there was a thorn in his flesh that he asked God to take away three times, God, take it, remove it. God said, my grace is sufficient. He trusted God. Hey, when he was battling with the spirit in the flesh, Romans chapter number 7, his own sin problem, he trusted God. When they accused him unjustly, you know what he did? He trusted God. Can I just tell you this morning, when you don't understand, trust God. Listen, when it doesn't seem fair in your life, trust God. Hey, when you sin, repent and trust God. When you can't cry any more tears, I just want to remind you this morning to trust God. We've all heard the verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We could all quote it. Learned it when we were little babies. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Can I just tell you this morning? When you don't understand, trust him. When life don't make sense, trust the Lord this morning. Paul exemplified trusting the Lord in every situation. He testified, he preached, and he trusted. Here's the thing this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, man. I can feel it when people are going through stuff. I know that's weird, but I can feel it. Some of us this morning, I know you're going through something, but I don't know what you're going through. But I want to just tell you this. Whatever you are going through, trust him. Hey, if you're going through, and it sounds good, doesn't it? I heard a sermon this week about this, man, and I got so convicted about it because I struggle with it. When I'm going through the pain, guess what we've got to do if we're going to get through it? We've got to trust him, man. We got to give it to him. We can all quote it. Y'all listen to me. We can all quote it when it's somebody else going through it. We can all say it when it's somebody else's family, when it's somebody else's sickness, when it's death in somebody else's family. Oh, trust the Lord. But can I just ask this? What about when it's yours? What about when it's your family? What about when it's your marriage? What about when it's your finances? What about when it's your babies that are away from the Lord? What about when you with your friend that doesn't know the Lord? What about when you fail? I just wanted somebody this morning just needs to trust him. Just give it to him this morning. Turn it over to him. Listen, you don't have to live in a place where you're angry. You don't have to live in a place where you're bitter. You don't have to live under those chains this morning. If you'll turn it over to him, there's nothing he can't get you through this morning. I'm telling you. I've been there, man. I've been there when there was no one else. Sometimes when there's nowhere else to turn but him, y'all listen to me, he's got us right where he wants us. I've seen it my own life. Sometimes he just wants us to say, oh God, I need you. God, I trust you. God, I know you're not asleep. God, I know you're in control. God, I know you're sovereign. And I'm surrendered to your will. Just want to tell you this morning. Who is it this morning that just needs to give it to him this morning? Just give it to him this morning. Listen, we don't have church around here just to go through a religious act. We don't come in here just to, we come in here to allow the Holy Spirit of God to move and to change us and to draw us closer to him. And for some of us this morning, we've got something going on and we needed to give it to him. And I know you don't have to come around an altar to do that, but some of us, it's been months, years. Hey, if it's been 20 years since you've been through an old-fashioned altar, can I just tell you, man, sometimes it's good for the soul just to say, God, I trust you. I humble myself in your presence and in your sight. I can't do another day on my own. Stop living on your own and trust him this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, standing. Our feet, altar's open. Mask on, sing.